it's not all about business. So EOS isn't coming in and saying, you need to work 80 to 100 hours a week if you want to succeed.
Right.
What EOS is saying is there should be balance in your life. Well, that goes hand in hand with what we talk about with employee supremacy.
How do companies create a culture and core values that employees actually live out? The team at The Receptionist, a Denver-based software company, sets out to answer that very question. Welcome to The Fabric. Here's your host, Michael Ashford.
In this episode of The Fabric, we're making good on a promise from an earlier episode here on the show when we told you we would update you on some goings-on here in the business. And that episode was from July 2023 when I spoke with our Director of Sales, Tom Foster, and our CEO and President, Andy Alsop, right after they had gotten back from the Entrepreneurial Operating System Conference in Indianapolis. Andy is back here on the show with me in studio to talk about the changes that have occurred since that episode dropped. And there have been a lot of changes, some big and some small. And we get into what those are here in this conversation, as well as the EOS conference here in 2024. We're already talking about that this year. It's in San Diego. And so it's already been almost a year since we last had that conversation. If you're interested in learning more about what we do and how company culture drives us, consider subscribing to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/thereceptionistapp. We're currently releasing new episodes of The Fabric once a month, along with lots of other great content. And now here's my conversation with Andy. It has been a long time since you've been on The Fabric, but welcome back. First episode of 2024. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. It has been a while.
Yeah, we are making good on a promise we made last year, which was to revisit EOS, the things that we learned, you and Tom, our director of sales, that you guys learned coming out of the EOS conference last spring. I can't believe we're already talking about this almost a year later, but we had brought some ideas. You and Tom had brought some ideas to the company back from that conference. We had talked about what we were thinking about, what we learned there. And now we're going to update people on some pretty big changes that have happened within the company since we had that episode. Just talk about what it was like, I guess, coming down from the high of that conference and that first conversation we had here on the show, and how you started to like know which direction to go, Andy.
That's a great question. You know, we didn't actually end up going in a particular direction right away because it's a little overwhelming. You know, you come back with all this information. I mean, we talked about visionary versus integrator. We talked about this, I think, on the last episode that we had, it came to a realization that we didn't have an integrator in our company and that I was serving in both of those seats. That was the thing that I think I came back with that was most, or the thing that resonated with me the most, is that everybody there is talking about the visionary integrator relationship as part of the entrepreneurial operating system. And we didn't have that. And I had been serving as both. And so I think that's the thing that I found the most impactful and just, wow, you know, we need to do something about this. But it's not something you just say, okay, you turn on a dime and say, let's start doing something about it. You have to kind of plan for it. And then also it just was kind of maybe an awakening to just see how many things that we were not doing and doing. And so some things I'm really proud of the fact that we have been able to really adopt the entrepreneurial operating system by reading the book, you know?
Yeah.
But then you realize there's all sorts of new books that you can read that are a part of EOS. And there are things like implementers and things like that. So a lot of that sort of, it was a big jumble in my head. Like, what do we do about all this? We had conversations at the leadership level. How do we take this forward? So I can't say that we did it in any sort of path other than, why don't we do this now? And just taking it one step at a time.
The term, I guess, is we self-implemented, right? Just by reading the book. And I came into the company right at about that time that process was happening. And I had been through an implementation at a different company. But you hit on something that I think was the most immediate thing that we tackled was, hey, we're doing some things wrong. I use wrong in air quotes. We're doing some things right. Yeah, we've got the idea behind it. We have the VTO, the Vision Traction Organizer. We have a scorecard. We're trying to run L10 meetings, or we were at least calling them that. But there was a lot that we realized and understood that we didn't do, or that we just simply didn't even know was part of EOS. Maybe we had missed it in the book. And so we brought on an implementer. And I want to make the distinction there for folks who don't know. There's the integrator, which is a seat within the company. And then there's the implementer. And we'll talk about both of those. But the process to bring on an implementer, mm-hmm. Andy, why was that so important? Why not just continue on as a self-implemented company? Why was it so important to bring on somebody in that implementer role to get us fully implemented with the entrepreneurial operating system?
I mean, it came from the conference. I think that the conference is one of probably EOS's best sales tools, right? Because you start talking to people and they're like, oh, we have our VTO and this is what we did. And these were the numbers we hit and things like that. And I really came back from it feeling like we had done a great job implementing, self-implementing, but we hadn't actually fully implemented the entrepreneurial operating system. It was over the course of several weeks and several months that I felt like this is time that we actually get somebody in here who can be outside of us. And that's the interesting thing is that the five of us in the leadership team will spend time together, but there's nobody coming in from the outside and sort of observing what's going on and determining where you're kind of going on the right path and the wrong path and helping you self-correct. And even that, I'm going to get a little vulnerable and hopefully not too vulnerable, but in those meetings, because we have somebody else there who is the implementer, they almost end up becoming a little bit like a therapist. And so it's allowed us to really be genuine in front of everybody and each other, and be able to talk about things that that maybe weren't coming up in our traditional L10 meetings. And, you know, when you're with an implementer, you're offsite, you don't do it within the office. And it's a whole day. It's 8 to 9 hours and it's intense. You're going through a lot of stuff. And without somebody facilitating like an implementer does, and our implementer is Anastasia Toomey.
Yep.
She's done an amazing job. And without her guidance, without her kind of bringing us along on what we need to do during the process, I don't think we'd get where we are now. And so I feel like we have taken huge leaps in that process. And I think our first implementer meeting was October of last year. So we haven't been doing it for that long. And I think already we've taken some pretty big leaps as a result of kind of being brave and just going ahead and saying, let's do this.
I would totally agree with that. And I remember, I believe it was our second meeting with Anastasia. We had a big issue that we had been talking about. We were actually in the room where we held our first ever company meeting when I first came on board in our former co-working space. But she just took a step back and she's like, you guys talk in circles a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And just having that voice, like you said, from the outside to just like throw that on the table and say, guys, this is an issue. You just wasted a lot of time.
Yep.
Or haven't been talking about this for so long, have been avoiding this for so long that you just talked in circles because everyone wanted something to say. That was impactful to me.
Yep.
That really opened my eyes to like not just the value that Anastasia brings, but really that perspective that an implementer, somebody from the outside can bring. I'm curious, were there any moments like that that struck you in the first few sessions that we've had with Anastasia? And I think we've had three full sessions now with her.
Three full sessions.
And we're recording
exactly.
This in February 2024.
Right, right.
This will be released in March. So we're coming up on our fourth. We've had our yearly meeting with Anastasia. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But any of those moments stick out for you?
I don't know. What happened for me, and the one you just referenced was a big one. The fact that there was one issue and we kind of kept going around and around. And I'll be honest with you, and I'll be vulnerable as the leader of the company. I'm the one who's supposed to be running those meetings and stopping us from kind of going in circles, but I'm also the visionary. You know, I have been, you know, I now have said, okay, I am the visionary, and the visionary isn't the person who usually does that. It's usually the integrator who's the one who says, okay, we're spinning here. We've got to stop. Let's, you know, break this down or whatever else is necessary. In terms of other parts of the session, I mean, I don't know. It's probably too, I don't want to disclose it on a podcast, some of the things we talked about, but there were some pretty big issues that were in the room that weren't getting addressed in our normal level 10s. And they were addressed in front of everybody. There was that vulnerability. There was that you know, some emotions that came out of it as well. Yeah. But when we left the meeting, we all felt like, wow, I'm glad we actually talked about that issue, sure. You know? So yeah. I think that's been really interesting. And having run the company for 8 years, and you've been with us for over five now, you've seen it.
Over six.
You know, over six. Is yeah. it six
Almost
now?
Six and a half years.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it. I'm embarrassed. On a podcast, I just admitted I didn't know it was five. So over 6 years, you know, you've seen that some of our meetings sometimes probably aren't making the progression they need to, or we're not getting to those tough, meaty issues. And boy, the work that we're doing right now is really changing things. And there's the books by Pat Lencioni. Mm-hmm. I've been just devouring those books right now. And that was brought to us by the EOS process as well. So, boy, there's been so much already growth that's happened. You know, and as you just said, what's that, four months?
Yeah.
We've had that growth. So imagine what that'll be like after a few years.
A lot has changed. If I just think back to our ROC process, we had been kind of asking employees to come up with a big rock that is above and beyond their normal job duties. And that was a complete deviation when Anastasia told us, no, these should be the things in their job that they are committed to making sure that they absolutely get done.
Yeah, they're the highest priority.
Quarter, the highest right. priority items. We're not coming up with some big grandiose right. additional thing. And that's kind of how we had treated rocks. And I can see how an employee would get frustrated by that. Like, you want me to do my job and this other thing on top of it. And I'll be frank here, with no additional compensation.
Right.
In that case, that can be a problem. That can cause a problem. And just bringing that light to the ROC process helped me as well. How did you find Anastasia? Let's talk about the process of finding an implementer. How did she come to...
It's interesting because we have a philosophy here at the company where we always want to interview three different people for a contract position. And EOS basically, well, there's a couple things. One is that when you're at the EOS conference, there's a whole table and all they do is help you find an implementer. Because so many people come to the conference, they don't have an implementer, and they go to this table and they say, where are you? You know, you don't necessarily have to be in the same state because they will travel. Some don't travel as much as others. And I kind of wanted somebody from Colorado because we're based here in Denver. So we found somebody we found two people. And it's interesting because I wanted to, you know, go out and interview three. And they basically said, two's going to be enough. You're going to be able to decide between those two. So we interviewed two different implementers. And they were both great, loved both of them. And we just felt that Anastasia had that match that we needed for us. And I have to say, Anastasia has done over 500 meetings, so she is considered an expert implementer. And so she's kind of seen it all. And she had kind of the right personality. I thought her personality, if anybody else knows Anastasia, she comes in and she is going to tell you exactly what you need to change and not mince words. And that's what we needed. You know, we didn't need somebody coming in being like, oh, you guys are so great. No, somebody needs to come in and say, here, you need to decide on this issue. You're going around on things, that kind of stuff.
And to tell us like, no, the EOS process is this and you guys are doing it wrong.
Right, like, right.
That was one of the things we wanted to make sure we did was we want to implement EOS fully. I think a lot of the conversations you had at the conference revolved around, man, we had an implementer and our business grew because of this. We fully went in. Everything is done on EOS from top to bottom. And that really struck a chord with you. Do I remember mm-hmm. that correctly?
Oh, yeah. No, you're definitely remembering it because it was interesting because I talked to a commercial plumbing contractor.
That's right.
That was out of California. We talked to Tom and I, because Tom and I were the ones who went, Tom Foster, our director of sales, and I went to the Indianapolis conference last year. And at that one, there was somebody else that was an IT contractor that did work for the federal government. They were in like Fairfax, Virginia or something. And it was remarkable because it was every conversation, it was the same thing.
Yeah.
We implemented EOS and we went from 4 million to 12 million, you know, or we had 120 person contracting company. We went to 240. And it just were these mind blowing stories. And I'm like, this is exactly what we want to do and where we want to get to. And it wasn't, you know, a salesperson coming up and saying, you can get from here to here. These were real people who had implemented the process and made it work. So I think that really is what struck me.
Yeah. So I want to underscore something here, because obviously we talk about it almost every episode here, which is employee supremacy.
Yep.
We talked in our employee supremacy series. You've said it many times on this show. You've had conversations with other guests about the need for growth, that you're a capitalist, that is an important piece of this, is not just taking care of our employees, but doing it in a way that we grow and build the company. So again, I just want to ask and reiterate, Andy, how do you see employee supremacy and EOS fitting together?
Well, they fit together perfectly, in my opinion. It's not all about business. So EOS isn't coming in and saying, you need to work 80 to 100 hours a week if you want to succeed.
Right.
What EOS is saying is there should be balance in your life. Well, that goes hand in hand with what we talk about with employee supremacy. We believe that the company should be listening to the employees, not necessarily the shareholders. So it's not shareholder supremacy, it's employee supremacy. And we want to better our employees' lives and give them a life they can live and enjoy. Mm-hmm. Well, there's no better way to do that when you have a business that is well-organized, knows what the vision traction organizer says, we want to be in 10 years, where we want to be in 3 years, where we want to be in 1 year, where we need to be in one quarter, and everybody signs up for their rocks, knowing what all of the direction of the company is. And then you just go out there and do it. Nobody is coming down. We don't go and say, that rock is just too weak, you know?
Yeah.
We're going and saying, how are you going to contribute? Now, if it's not enough, we have a dialogue about it and say, well, do you think you can do more? Or is that going to be too much? Where do we get that the resources from necessary to be able to achieve those goals? And we have those conversations. So I think hand in glove, they fit together.
Yeah. One of the things Anastasia did at our planning meeting for the year for 2024 is, we, after we had planned out all our rocks, she said, okay, what's a personal rock now for you, for each one of us on the leadership team? Right. She asked, okay, what are you going to commit to take care of yourself? I remember what mine was for the year, which was, I want to finish my master's.
Right.
and then I wanted to, that for the quarter, it was read 2 books of the Bible.
That's right.
At least 5 days a week. And so that to me just struck of employee supremacy vibes.
Yep. Yeah.
Incorporating exactly. that into this business planning process.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, every meeting starts out with, even if it's with our implementer meeting or now one of our 90 meetings, it always starts out with, where are you? You know, let's talk about what's going on with you first, and have everybody contribute, because it's not just all about business.
Right.
And that's bringing that balance to our meetings and everything we're doing.
Absolutely. Okay, so another thing that really changed out of this is we implemented a software. This was one that perhaps I think we had known about. You had known about beforehand. It's called 90.io. This is not like a sponsored episode or anything like that, but it has fundamentally shifted how we run our meetings as well. It's built for EOS and other kind of models, other operating systems. We, of course, use it for EOS, but what's been your experience like, Andy? I've been the one to implement it for the leadership team, so I've got that experience and I can certainly speak to that. But from your perspective, you don't get to run meetings or take notes anymore. Yep. That's all removed from your plate. What has that software been like?
It's been amazing. So what I had previously done was block out an hour of a week to be able to take all of the Google Docs that had all of our meeting notes in it, and it had the full IDS in it, and I have to take it, copy it up to the next week, delete all the stuff that had been done. It was ridiculous. I would spend so many hours doing it. I honestly hated doing it. So a lot of times we'd get to the meeting, I'd be like, oh crap, I got to change this meeting, you know, all my meeting notes so that we can set it up. Now what happens is it just spits out, what are the issues? What were the to-dos? What's our scorecard? And it connects it all together. I know we sound like an advertisement. Maybe we should go to 90 and see if we can get some sort of compensation right. for this. But it has really changed a lot of things. It's been it's far more efficient. You know, we can just go into a meeting. All the issues are there. It's actually timed, which is great. That keeps us on time as well. Yeah. So, yeah, and then it also allows me to have my, my smaller meetings. Like I might have, may not call it a 90 minute, but it'll be a 60 minute level 10 with, you know, our finance department or whatever. Same thing. All the employees are contributing their issues. So I think it has really changed my life, because I was spending so much time in Google Docs trying to find things. Oh, and there's one other thing. we would put our to-dos down, and they would all be in an individual document. So I'd have the marketing document, or yes, I'd have, you know, finance, and I would have to keep track of all my to-dos, but they're all in seven different places. So yes, I'd get to a meeting and go, crap, I forgot to actually do those to-dos. Now what it's doing is concatenating one long list of all your to-dos and just work through it. So yeah, I mean, I know I sound like a promotion, but I have to say it's worked very well.
It's a major change that has come out of this process. Yeah. and something that Anastasia, our implementer, has really driven home the value of it, the getting out of Google Docs. Google Docs served us well and still does in many ways, but getting out of that for running these meetings has been, as the person kind of leading the charge implementing it, I enjoy it. Like there is some upkeep, some uplift to get it going. But once you do, like you said, it saves time. So hopefully with that hour of time back.
At least, I think it's actually more than an hour. So yeah.
Hopefully you get a chance to fulfill your visionary role, Andy.
And I do. I want that.
Speaking of that, and so much of this is an ongoing thing. We are not fully implemented yet. I wouldn't call us fully implemented. We still have a lot of sessions to go with Anastasia. Still working through implementing all of this stuff that we've been talking about down to our teams throughout the company. Even as we grow, I mean, we're still in a growth mode and bringing on new team members this year. So as we look to the future, one of the things you've kind of brought up is the integrator, which is different than the implementer, the integrator role, visionary and integrator. You've filled those roles the entire time the receptionist has been a thing and EOS has been a thing at the receptionist. Why the change? Why the need for a change? What does that look like? I guess we'll start there. Why the change and the need for it?
Well, I think I feel like I've done a good job getting the company to where it is now, you know, and serving in both those roles. But what I'm realizing is that I've gotten beyond my capacity to be able to do that, to be able to, you know, as the system calls, is to be able to have big relationships, work on culture, you know, for us working on financing and doing all the things I need to do, that I'm not able to drop in and do what an integrator does. And an integrator, it's named that for a reason, because what they're doing is integrating the EOS process across all of the departments. And that's where I don't think I've done the work I'd like to be able to do, which is to be able to make sure that all of the departments are working on the same kind of plane and going forward. So, I mean, EOS does a lot of that with the rocks and everything else. But I think an integrator is, we're just now getting into the process. We don't have an integrator in the house, but it is very, very close. We'll say that. And already I can see what we're going to be able to garner from it, because we're going to have one person whose responsibility is making sure EOS is embedded in the organization, that all of the whole organization is then rowing in the right direction and in the same direction.
On that note, two things that I think really come to light when you talk about the integrator role that we hadn't really been doing much or holding ourselves accountable to pre all of this. To-dos, those 7-day to-dos, those are things that you're committing to get done in 7 days.
Yep.
And if it's not done in 7 days, is it because it's a bigger issue that we need to IDS, identify, discuss, and solve in our L10s? Or is there some other extenuating circumstance? Like the accountability to those to-dos, I think sometimes, I'll admit this for myself, I'd be like, I'll get it done next week. The integrator will help facilitate the actual completion of those to-dos and hold us more accountable to those. The other piece is rocks. We had breaking down rocks into weekly milestones, not something that we had ever done before. So our rocks were all this free for all at the end of every quarter to get the rock done, and breaking that down, holding us accountable to those weekly milestones. And the fact that if you don't get a rock done in the quarter, it's not necessarily looked at as a bad or a good thing. It just is a thing. And so how do we make the next quarter's rock something that is more achievable or attainable, or how do we get better at measuring it so we know what we can accomplish in the quarter? There's just some intricacy about the EOS process that we've learned through this that integrator will help facilitate day in and day out, that you said something really important that now I want to get your thoughts on this, that then allows you to go be the steward of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a podcast and a show all about company culture and how it grows and scales. So as we kind of wrap up this episode, Andy, I just want to get your thoughts on when we bring on that integrator, and that is happening first as a fractional, and then we'll eventually look for a full time. What do you see yourself? What does that mean to you to be the steward of the culture here at The Receptionist, knowing that it is such an important part of what we're doing here, the growth of the company, the direction and the trajectory of the company? How do you see your role shifting, changing? What does that mean to you?
Oh, wow. It means a ton, because we talk about employee supremacy. We operate under employee supremacy here at the company. And what I think what it's going to allow me to do is to step back from having to run all the departments and everything that's going on. And I can actually focus on, and what I'm going to say it on this podcast, because I haven't been able to do it yet, which is I am going to write a book about employee supremacy. But I haven't had the brain space to be able to do that, you know? And so that's going to free me up to be able to do that. The other part is that as we're introducing Receptful, our new product, we're working with large enterprise manufacturers, where it's a visitor management system for large enterprise manufacturers. I want to work on those relationships. I want to work with Tom. I want to go side by side. I want to go and fly out and see those customers and hear what their experience is and that type of thing.
Yeah.
Those big relationships are something I haven't been able to focus on. I've been so in the business as opposed to being kind of outside the business. And so I think it's going to give me that opportunity as well. So it's going to open up a whole bunch for me. And what I'm doing is tempering my expectations, right? Because we are going with a fractional integrator to begin with. And then the plan is to go into a full-time integrator. It's going to take us a while, you know? It's not like day one, I'm just going to say, all right, Michael, you're going to be going working with so-and-so and I'm out of here, right? It's going to take a while for us to make that transition. And I want to take that time because I don't want to rush that process. But once we have that and I'm feeling like that's there, wow, that is going to allow me to focus on strategy over the next 3-5 years, really focusing on where we want that VTO to go, all that kind of thing. So I'm really excited about it. It's, in the last conference, I can't remember the doctor, I won't remember his name, but he talked about 2X versus 10X, basically the way to get to 10X is to really make changes in your life. And you start when you make those changes, that's when you get to elevate. And that's where I want to see myself going. Been running this business for over 8 years now. Actually, it's coming up on 9 years in April.
Yeah.
And I love it. It's a passion of mine. Doesn't mean I'm not running it. It just means I'm not necessarily going to be doing that integrator piece any longer. And that's going to free up more headspace and more time for me. So I'm excited about that.
I, for one, cannot wait for the book. So a book about employee supremacy that we can get out there. I just, I'm so excited for that and want that to happen. So you mentioned the conference. We're going back. Leadership team, well, save for our co-founder, Dalin. He has a scheduling conflict, so he won't be able to be there. But 4 of the 5 members of the leadership team will be at the EOS conference in San Diego in April. So if you're there, if you're watching or listening, and you're going to be there as well and want to chat us up, please reach out to us. Let us know. We'd love to connect there in San Diego. Hopefully it's not as rainy as it is right now.
Oh, is it rainy in there? Well,
they're
it's going to be beautiful.
They're getting pummeled with bad winter thunderstorms, I think, right now, and lots of flooding. But anyway, we'll see that. Any final thoughts on that? Any final words on what the process has been like so far?
Well, it depends on where you are in your journey. You know, if you're just thinking about getting an implementer, you're the early part, maybe even should I go to I almost said Indianapolis. That's where it was last year. Or should I go to San Diego? Go. That's what I would just say. I think it is really a process that once you take one step forward, two step forward, and after a while, you can't like go back. You're just going to continue to go forward. It makes such a substantial difference. So, you know, we don't have the integrator yet. I think maybe we got to do another episode when, you know,
sounds like it.
When we bring in the to be named integrator, maybe onto the show as well.
Very good. We'll make that happen. We're holding our promises here. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it. Andy, thanks for giving us an update. Appreciate it, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you so much for tuning in and watching this episode of The Fabric. If you want more content from our studio here in Denver, Colorado, please consider subscribing to our channel here on YouTube. That's youtube.com/thereceptionistapp to see more of our content coming out of this space that you see behind me, as well as more content from the remarkable guests and the rest of the team here at The Receptionist that we plan to highlight and show you much more of. Join us in the comments. We'd love to start interacting with you there. Please join us, and we'll see you on the next episode.
The Fabric is hosted by me, Michael Ashford, Director of Marketing here at The Receptionist, and it's produced by our creative manager, James Jordan. If you'd like to give The Receptionist for iPad visitor management system a try in your office, jump over to thereceptionist.com/free trial and give us a test drive for 14 days with no credit card required. See what you think. And until next time, take care.